Father, we thank for grace, thank for today once again, Lord, to be able to come together in the house of the Lord and come and feast upon your love and everlasting life and your holy word of life, Father, that is that which give us the strength, Father, in this journey. We thank you, Lord, for today. We ask that you bless now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want you to put on the video. I want you to watch this video first before I go into the message.
Is God true? Does he still foretell things to happen? Watch. That was the fourth. Now the fifth thing. Science will progress in such a way until they will make a car that will not have to be guided by a steering wheel. And the cars will continue to be shaped like an egg until the consummation, the end time. I've seen an American family going down the road in a broad way, riding in a car with their backs turned towards where the wheel should be, look like they were playing checkers or cards. And we got it. It's on television. Popper Science. Mechanics, rather. All have it. We got the car. It's controlled by remote control, by radar. You don't even have to have any steering wheel in it. You set your dial like this, like you dial your phone, your car takes you right onto it. Can't wreck or nothing. Your other car's a magnet, keeps the rest of them away from you. They got it. Oh, my. Think of it. Predicted 30 years before it happened.
Please go ahead.
Boker Tov, I'm Stephen Ben Danoon, and you're watching Israeli News Live. All around the world, protests are breaking out against Israel. There are violent clashes and riots in countries virtually around the world.
May I say this with reverence and respect, but to bring light, because as a brother said a while ago, we're living later than you think we are. One of these days, something's going to happen. It's going to be too late.
Look what she's doing now. You see it in the government affairs. They're trying to go right over and hook up with the Arabs.
Yeah.
Don't you know God's word said whoever who curses Israel will be cursed?
Yeah.
Hardly. I stand with Israel.
Yeah.
Take our ground, Lord. Take it. Now think of the those Jews. I see that old six par. Point Star of David, the oldest flag in the world, hanging under. Why can't the nation see it? And to think that our own beloved nation's going to hook up with the Arabs, look like they'll be cursed just as sure. They spurned the mercy of God, now they must stand judgment.
Tensions rising between the United States and the one country in the Middle East that has been our strongest and most important ally. For the last 24 hours, we have seen a mounting series of attacks by Obama administration officials on the newly re-elected leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. The fight between the president and the prime minister pushing out almost all other news today.
How many in here remembers me just keep having standing said over like that? Watch Russia. Watch Russia, the king of the north. Watch Russia, king of the north. Watch Russia, king of the north. How many heard me say this way that over the old timers you see back in the early part of the church? Just stand there and wave it over and over. Watch Russia, the king of the north. See what he would do, for all those isms will heap up into Russia.
These images of what appear to be Russian helicopter gunships are yet another challenge to the authority of the new government in Kiev. They were spotted flying low and fast towards a military base near Sevastopol. They didn't respond when asked if they'd been sent by Moscow.
Откуда вы, Россия? Russia? Where are you from?
With Russia seem to be getting frostier by the day, and in an unprecedented move, the Russian military says it now plans to send strategic bombers on regular patrol in America's backyard.
You remember, church, that you're living in the best day that you ever will live in. Right now, until Jesus comes, it shall gradually, not gradually, but rapidly get worse and worse. When Russia goes down there to get that oil, look out, that's all she needs. That's what the prophet said it would do. And we're ready for it then. So church, get ready to meet Christ. He's sending great revivals and meetings and stirring the full gospel people. Signs and wonders appearing everywhere. Great wonders to draw His people together. And one day He shall come.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. You're going to talk about tonight for a long time. Oh, yeah. I mean it. And somebody I want to introduce to you. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? And Tony Palmer.
And the third spiritual father was Mario Jorge Bergoglio. Because, you see, my wife, when she saw she could be Catholic and charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted within the Catholic Church, she said that she'd like to reconnect her roots with her Catholic culture.
They're trying to show, look at this World Council of Churches now. The Anglican, the Roman Catholic, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostals, and all of them united together, Christian Science, and many of the cults.
It was an incredible time for us because I was born again, spirit-filled, and a evangelical Pentecostal church. Like I said, I came to radical faith, both me and Emiliana, my wife, we had radical conversion experiences. We'd been raised in the word of faith. We'd worked for Kenneth and Gloria in South Africa. But the call that we got to Italy was the call from Rome. And I need you to at least understand a little bit of the history behind this. Because we are living in an incredibly important generation. I believe that God has brought me here to this year's ministers' conference in the spirit of Elijah.
The leading the blind of this age, under false pretense, under false creeds, under dogmas that's false, under denomination that's false, under creed books that's false. Oh, blind Laodicea, leading the blind, you're all headed for the ditch.
So I'm waiting for him, and he says, you want to take a message next week to Texas for me? I said, yes, sir. So I said, do you want me to write it down? He said, why don't we make a video?
Man under the devil's plan has tried to denominate the church into oneness. They have tried to educate the church into oneness. You know that. Through education, through denomination. They're trying right now, the World Council of Churches, going on to try to bring all the Catholic and Protestant together and make them a one. What is it? A plan of the devil.
Tante ricchezze culturali, anche religiose, da tradizioni diverse. Ma dobbiamo trovarci come fratelli. Perché questo ci spingerà a trovarci, a abbracciarci e a lodare Gesù Cristo come unico Signore della storia. Pregare al Signore perché ci unisca tutti. E avanti, siamo fratelli, ci diamo spiritualmente questo abbraccio e lasciamo che il Signore.
As Jesus cried, blind Pharisees, the Holy Spirit in my own heart tonight cried, blind Laodicea! How else God would have given you a revival? But now your time has come.
Qui finirà bene questo miracolo dell'unità. Vi chiedo di benedirmi e io ti benedico. Di fratello a fratello. Un abbraccio. Grazie.
Oh, did you laugh and make fun of the people that God put to you? But now your time has come. Oh, United States, United States.
Tony, thank you, sir.
Oh, that God would have hovered you at the end of the dream, but you would not.
Oh, city Capernaum, who called yourself by the name of the angels, Los Angeles. How you've exalted yourself into heaven, the very root and seat of Satan. See? You to call yourself by the name of the angels. If the mighty works have been done in Sodom have been done in you, it's due today, but your hour's come. You watch and see if it ain't I'm a false prophet.
People need to know that the shaking is not over. We'll get hit again. And it's going to be a bigger monster.
Listen! And I paint this with the reverend heart.
Oh,
the testing time has come for America! And she failed!
The earth will literally crack open. And you will feel it on the East Coast.
Judgment will strike the West Coast. Los Angeles will go beneath the ocean. Thus saith the Lord, it will. She's done. She's washed. She's finished. What hour? I don't know when, but it will be some.
1,500-mile chunk of it, 300 or 400 miles wide, will sink hundreds of maybe 40 miles down into that great fault out there. One of these days, and waves will shoot come out from the city of Kentucky. When it does, it'll shake the world so hard that everything on top of it will shake down.
Perhaps a bomb is already centered for the middle of this city. And also in America and around the world.
Then I've seen the end time when the United States looked like a big bunch of bursted up stones and things like that could blow it out, smoldering everywhere.
Something had burned up.
United Nation, United Churches, and United Efforts. What is the sign of Christ and His Bride uniting?
That's what it is.
All shadows and types. Everything wants to be unionized. Church is fine. Christ is fixing to unite with His Bride. A wedding supper taking place in the sky. Oh, it ought to throw the church into action when we see the signs of His sure at hand. Oh, my. All these things are signs to us everywhere. Oh, we should be in action.
Amen. I think that's very brief introduction to the message today. Behold, he cometh. I don't know about each and every one of you, but for myself, I'm getting myself ready for the coming of the Lord. This is 2015, and this video that you have just seen is just to show you the prophecy that must come to pass, and it will come to pass, and it already is coming to pass. You already seen the car that Abraham prophesied, and he saw in the vision in the year 1933. And when he was preaching this, that's why he said it was 30 years ago, you know, because when he was preaching it was the 1960s. So you just imagine all the thing that he saw. He saw it in his days and now became a reality in our day. And you see the prophecy regarding Israel, how the nation will gang up against Israel. And then we see the false church uniting. The popes and the charismatic. How can you be a Catholic and be a Christian? You can't. Can you be a born-again Catholic? I don't think so. Can you be a born-again Methodist? I don't think so. Because I believe that if you are born again, you are not a Methodist, you are not a Baptist. I don't care what name you give yourself. Because when you have a name attached to a denomination, something is wrong. It's either you are stubborn or you are ignorant. If you are ignorant, God can deal with that. But if you are stubborn, just refuse and say, I'm Methodist, I've died of Methodist. And this is a doctrine of Methodist, I hold on to it, and something is wrong with you. You know, and I believe that the Word of God, and God says none of His Word will fail. Whatever He has spoken, it will return to Him, not void, but fulfilled. And this is the day we are living, we are seeing. As Bob Emil said, California will sing, and it is going to sing. And even Hollywood make a big movie called San Andrea. You know, and it's going to hit the cinema in the next few days. Why are they thinking about the reality of this? Because they know the reality that it will happen. And when the little part of that Southern California is broken out for San Andrea Fort, and LA will go down into the sea, and it will create a tsunami that will sweep across the west coast up to San Francisco. You can see the Golden Gate Bridge that they depicted there. I won't be surprised, yes. And it will go sweep all the way inland, and that earthquake will be so great that those on the east coast will feel it. And then what about the churches uniting? Not only just uniting churches, as Barman was saying that, the uniting nations, you know, everything the people are doing is now they want to unite. Even the banks are coming together. And what about the churches? I'm talking about the bride. Is the bride getting themselves ready and uniting into the Word of God? Man will unite things, the churches, the different denominations, nations, but God is the only one, Christ is the only one that is going to unite His bride together. And He will only unite to you and me in His own Word. And this is uniting time. And I always remember one statement of Abraham said, back in the 60s when he said, now is testing time by sin. And you need to understand what he meant by this statement. Now is uniting times. Now is testing time by sin. Because you see, the world that we are living, we are seeing now. The worldliness of the things that is out there. And you know, as I said this day, when Brother James was here, and you know, we went out together, he saw all those young girls, even elderly ladies, even wearing hot pants. Short pants. And he was looking around, and practically every three girls in one of them were wearing a hot pant. He said, Brother, is that the way these people dress here? So what is going on now in the world today? As the world gets into the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up a new his kingdom, sins will be more rampant. But I know that I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, behold, He cometh. So as a Christian, as a believer, let us turn to the book of 2 Peter, and we are going to read verses of scriptures today. There are only 3 points that I want to bring it up. I want to let you know, and you know, that you as a believer, born again, past your rotten life. But the Bible says we are all sinners. My past was a life of sin. Maybe I'm not a great sinner, as Paul claims I'm the greatest of sinners, the chiefest of sinners. And everybody wants to say they are the chiefest. Well, it depends. I don't know how big your sin may be before you became a child of God. But when you are converted, you're converted to live in the grace of God. So your rotten life is past. Now that you are in grace, what do you do with it? Do you go back to living a rotten life again? And that's what we are seeing in the world today. Lots of Christians, they call themselves Christian, but they don't line up with the grace that they have. And I believe it's so true that the Bible said, be ye holy as I'm holy. God said that. You know. Because if we are saved by grace, we are saved by His holiness, in which grace proceeds from Him to reconcile us back to a holy God. So what about our life? You know. So let us remember this. That being a child of God, let us be serious of the hour that we live in. Amen? Alright, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, what is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, that means all the apostles fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, you see, that was Peter's day, and people, you know, Paul was expecting Christ to come. Yeah, he was. So were a lot of believers. And of course, those are not believers, the scoffers, they're saying, well, when is Christ coming? You know, it's passing days, passing months and years. Things continue as it is. Doesn't seem, he's still not here. Now, since the day of Peter who wrote this until now is 1,000+ years now. Since Christ ascended to heaven until now is almost 2,000 years. And He hasn't come. And of course, there have been scoffers. There are a lot of people that don't believe in that. What, Christ coming back and set up a kingdom? Many do not believe that. So they laugh and scorn at us. But we are living in 2015 now. You see the signs that is coming to pass. And I'm looking forward to His coming. Let us go and look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And verse 32 to 51. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. Matthew 24, if you got it. 32 to 51. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Very, very, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. For of that day and hour knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And remember this, this is what Jesus told the disciples on what to expect. And He went into history and drew the examples of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. How the people just continued their life. As it is, nothing happened. You know? And when the flood came, they were caught. And when the brimstone, the fire came down from heaven, those in Sodom and Gomorrah were caught. You know? So, What about today that we're living in? Do we have the voice? Do we have the ear to hear the voice of God that spoke to Noah? The same voice that spoke to Lot and warned us about the impending judgment that is to come. Then shall two be in the field and one shall be taken and one left. Two women shall be grinding the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord to come. But know this, that if a good man of the house know in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you knew not, as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that is also very true. If you know a thief is going to come to your house, definitely you will not just leave it and not watch for him to come. No man is done unwise. Then we go right now to verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord did delay his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now he's talking about the servant or something. And those that are not watching, you know, I'm responsible. As verse 45 said, a faithful and a wise servant for the church, feed them, warn them. Right? But if I'm going to be one, say, well, the master is not coming yet, and start to, you know, treat other servants badly, what then? I'm responsible for the ministry. I'm responsible for the churches that are looking to this ministry here, to feed them, to warn them, and to teach them. So I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord, and as a wise servant of the Lord, I want to be far at my post of duty. And I want you to always also think about yourself as a believer. Genesis 5:21. Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years old and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but God took him. And I have already presented this many times. All the patriarchs of God, those 10 patriarchs that you read here in the Bible, every one of them walked with God, definitely for sure. But there is a way that Enoch walked with God that pleased God. The Bible says it pleased God. You understand that? His grandfather, his father, and all before him, and those other after him, they too walked with God. But there is a way that Enoch walked with God that he was translated. And as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 said, go there. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 11, verse 5, sorry. Here Paul said in chapter Hebrews 11, 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not far, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. So there must be, you know, a difference between the way he walked with God and the rest of his relatives and uncle and cousins and nephew and all. Right. If we look to the coming of the Lord, we know that he cometh. Let us walk just like Enoch. My first point now this morning is, there are 3 points that we should take note of when we say that we want to be in the rapture. Huh? And I believe I'll be in the rapture. Now, I want to say this is that you know that denominational churches out there, they believe that, don't they? But what's the difference between the different denominations? You have the charismatic, the Pentecostal, the Episcopalian, you have the Anglican, you have the Presbyterian, and everybody said, we believe in the rapture. And I believe God is not marked that you to say, for somebody to say that in heaven you're going to see all different denominations and groups. That's a laughing stock. Huh? You must understand that God has only one bride. Christ has only one bride. And that bride must be dressed in linen, fine white. Clean and white. It must be pure. It's not patched up with some Baptist doctrines, Presbyterian traditions, Anglican, charismatic gibberish. Not at all. And that's why when I was in Pentecostals, I heard about all these speaking in tongues and all, a lot of them impersonating and all, they're faking. And when I came to hear the truth and the message, I left the place. It's important, because the Bible tells us so. Point number one, you must have a desire to look for His coming. Looking for His coming. Well, you know, I'm going to rapture, but I wasn't looking at it. You know, I just go around my business, do my work, come Sunday, go to church, and what? And the rest of the week, live as you want to live. Do you look for the coming of the Lord every day? Are you conscious when you get up in the morning? Huh? Of that? And the rest of the day, as you go about your work and all this, do you have the consciousness of it, looking for His coming? And when you go to bed at night, before you put your head down in the bed, do you just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm looking for Your coming. I'm just waiting. To be able to walk, to look for the coming of God, you must walk with God. In the sense that, yeah, you're walking with Him, that He's so close that anytime He can invite you to His home. Because God is a friend. You know. Like He was a friend to Abraham. So much so that He could reveal to Abraham the secrets. Even Jesus Christ and the disciple, I call you no longer my servant, I call you my friend. It's only a friend that will reveal a secret. Not even to a brother, but to a friend. A friend is closer to a brother. Because there is a special relationship. It's called friendship. And that's why we sing the song, Friendship with Jesus. Not brothership, not brotherhood. It's friendship. So looking for His coming. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that, now he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present, I would call it, evil world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. We're not searching for the blessed hope, we are looking for it. Because we know what the blessed hope is. The day when the Lord will come and take us, bring about the redemption of the body. Not just that we are already redeemed, yes. God works from the inside out, remember? I'm redeemed by love divine. But this body has to be redeemed. This body has to be changed from this corruption, this mortality into immortality, corruption into incorruption. 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Are you looking forward to his appearing? Or some people are saying, I still want to live a little longer on this earth, because I want to enjoy a little life a little bit more. You see? So where is your desire? Where is the treasure in your heart? What is it? Here we remember this. That love is appearing. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ came the first time to offer himself, you know, as a, as a propitiation for sin. When he comes back the second time, he'll give you the salvation, the redemption of your body. But he says here, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now when he came the first time, if you look into the Bible, you just can see how many people were looking for his first coming. How many? They were caught up in their system. How can they see anything? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribe, the Herodians, the Essenes, the Zealot, there's so many of them. They have their Torah, they have their Bible, the Old Testament, they have their law and the prophets, and yet they said they were looking for him. Because how can you look if you don't have the right monocular, so to speak? When you want to look for the coming of the Lord, you've got to see through the eyes of the Old and New Testament for us. Is that right? Now you know that it is true that we are given two eyes. Why? What did God give us two eyes? What if you have one eye? You just close one eye and see how is the perspective in front of you. In the Old Testament, of course, they only have the Old Testament, right? But they still have the one prophet. In fact, we can call it two eyes. But let's just say they only have one eye. They only have one telescope. No, telescope, you have people only to one a lens. A tube. But now we are living in this grace age. We have the Old and New Testament. So we should be able to see better. But for the religious people in the day of Jesus Christ, perhaps because of the law and the prophet, they could not understand, maybe, I don't know. But the problem is that they went into a tradition. And tradition is that which blinds people. Because in tradition, it's darkness. So you want to look into a telescope that is darkened? What can you see? You can't. You're looking at tradition. You can never look at the coming of Jesus Christ or the first coming of Christ as there should be through tradition. And if you are living in tradition today in the church, how can you see? Tell me. They can't even recognize the message to cut them out of the system. No. The Bible said God is light. In him is no tradition, no darkness. See? 2 Corinthians. And chapter 6. See what the Bible says here, Paul. You know, Paul was a Pharisee, and a Pharisee, that's called himself. Very religious man. Yet, when he saw the light, the light that blinded him. He was looking for the light, but he didn't see light. So when he saw the light that blinded him, then he changed. He came out and he left Phariseeism. And this is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believe with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord God Almighty. See? Come out from among her. What has the temple of God to do with the temple of Belial? What relationship is there with them? You know? And yet you saw on that video the man who confessed. And then I don't know what is the name of that charismatic preacher, not the Kenneth Copeland or somebody, I can't remember his name. You know, he think he's a big guy. You'll remember this night, remember this for a long, long time. You know how he is. And people enjoyed that. You know. And a man came out and says, oh, I have experienced my wife. She wants to go back to the root of Catholicism. That she can be a Catholic as well as a Pentecostal and a Baptist or whatever. Or you can't. Either you're born again Christian or you're not at all. Being a Catholic, being a Presbyterian, being a Methodist, do you no good. You know? You know the church world out there, God has left them alone a long time ago. Whether you believe it or not, God has left them. Assure God has still have grace and mercy. As God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful to those that I will be merciful. Right? And many of those that are out there, they don't realize they are caught up in darkness. And the problem is, as the Bible will tell us, that we all have a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And many are serving their church. They are not serving God. They are serving their church. And you are here not to serve the church. You are here to serve God. You know what I mean by to serve the church? Yeah. Look at CHC. Each one of them testify that they are serving the church for the good of the church. For the good of the church, you must first of all still know how to serve God. When you serve God, then you are serving the church. If you are serving the church, doesn't mean you are serving God. You understand what I'm talking about? That's why the Bible said in the book of Revelation, at the great white throne judgment, books were opened, which is the book of works. Right? Yeah, what kind of word do you find there? Oh, good service for the Methodist church, good service for the Presbyterian church, good service for this and that. Are you serving God or are you just serving an organization? Huh? You know. So, be very careful. And Paul just said, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. You know what the unclean thing is? Traditions are clean. When Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees, you make the word of God no effect by your tradition of the elders. They came to Jesus. Why do you and complained to Jesus and you know him and the disciple eating without washed hands and taking a, what we call a wheat in the field on the Sabbath day? Why do you violate the traditions of the elders? You know. It's washing hands before meal. Something in the Bible. Or is it just a ritual that they have to do it? Huh? Just what they have, the Jew. Those Orthodox Jews, they always would have this phylactery tied to their head. Yeah? Or on the shoulder. When they pray. That's not in the Bible. That's just a custom. That's a tradition. Something that is being taught by man as if it's the word of God. You see? What are you picking religion? You know, we have a medium, start to medium, start to go into a trance, and then he has a bell. Ding, ding, ding. And then bell, and then talk, 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 and then take the bell. Ding. You know what I'm saying? It's a ritualistic thing. Lighting white candles, bringing flowers, yeah? Throwing holy waters, things like that. We are no longer living in the days where the law applies that was given to Israel. And the ordinances, which all depicts sin and the thing that God would do to get rid of sin. And when Christ came, he fulfilled it all. And yet that which was given to the very chosen people, the chosen people could not even see what the law and the prophets was all about. Alright? Now, Mark. Go to the book of Mark. Chapter 13. Mark 13 verse 28 to 37. Now, learn the parable of the fig tree when the branches yet tender and put forth leaves. You know the summer is nigh. So ye, in like manner, when you see this thing come to pass, know that it is now even at the door. And we know that to be true now. But and we saw all these signs that the Bible foretold, and that which was given even to Brother Branham about the cars, about the singing of California, you know. And even Israel being rejected. All these are already here. Verily I say unto you, verse 30, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. That he therefore watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. You get the point now? Watch and pray. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and give authority to his servants and to every man his work, commanded the porter to watch. Watch it therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Point number two, that's watch and pray. And then the only three points to do. First, you must have a desire to look for his coming. Look for the blessed hope, who love his appearing. Love his appearing. And then what do you know? You don't know when he's coming. So you have to watch and pray. And that's what the Bible talks tell us. You know, Enoch had that revelation, because he walked so close to God, that God gave him a revelation about the coming flood, the coming judgment, that God is going to destroy this earth. You know. And what did he call his son after he married? He married at 64, 65. And his son was born at 65 years old. For 64, 5 years he was on this earth. And he saw what was out there. And he walked with God. And God showed him what was to come. And that's why he called his son's name Methuselah. When he come, when he is gone, it will come. when Methuselah, when he is gone, or when he died, the javelin or the dart will be sent. I mean to say that flood will come. So remember, it was something that was a revelation given to him, and the name was given, in which everybody would know in those days, Methuselah, your name means when you die, destruction will come. So everybody knows him. But when he grew up, 600 years, everything seems okay. 700 years, everything's okay. 800 years, everything seems okay. 900 years old, everything seems okay. So nobody cares. Many of the people of Seth descendant, they go about their own life. Went over to the other side and married those Canaanite women. Yes, crossed over the line there and took those women. You know. Unequally yoked is something that God warned against. But when Methuselah died at 969, the flood came, according to what the Jew always believed, 7 days later. When he died, the ark was opened and left the door open for 7 days. Just imagine. But people don't even think about it, because there was no rain. There was not even a drop, no sign of rain. Until the door closed, slammed, then the rain started coming down. When people realize that it's too late, you can't get enter into the door. Because the Bible said, when God says the door is left, when I leave an open door, it will stay open. When I shut it, nobody can open it. Nobody can open it. It's too late. So those are people that are just cut off. Watch and pray. Matthew 26:41. Here is just one statement that says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. This verse also starts about temptation, not like just in our daily living. Watch and pray that we not enter temptation. But here is also projected that you will not be left behind and go into the great tribulation of temptation. Yes. Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10-20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand up for having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet, shorter with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Remember, watch and pray. Pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 18. praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's point number two. Watch and pray. Watching the signs, watching the time, watching how we walk in the Lord. Supplication, yield to the Lord our life. Moved by His Word, shaped by the Word. You know, your life is yours, not mine. How you live your life is your way you want to live. God will force you. Huh? God give you the Word. God give you His Spirit to guide you. And if you really have the Spirit of God, therefore you are not a bastard. Because God doesn't have any bastard children. He's going to guide you, He's going to shape you, you're going to be a lot of pain if you disobey. And sometimes that's what people do. They get themselves into that trouble. I did when I was years ago, and I learned not to do it. See. Matthew 26. We have 42. We read just now 41. Matthew 26. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Watch and pray, God's will be done in your life. Not our will be done. Well, we have a lot of desire in this life, obviously. You know. And so sometimes I see some brother and sister now in the church, I wonder what's the trouble they are going through that they find hard to release it. Is it a job that holds you? Is it a career that holds you? Is it the home, housework that cares, that, you know, holds you? To get closer to the Lord and to spend a day or just a couple of hours with the Lord on a Sunday. You know. Is there a lot of pain that you find hard to let go? Now all you have to do is, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Second Kings, verse chapter 19. And verse 50. Second Kings 19, verse 50. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwell between the cherubim, thou art the Lord God, even thou alone, of all the kingdom of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth." Then we go over to chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6. And verse 17. And Elisha prayed and says, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eye that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mother was full of the horses and chariot of fire round about Elisha. So, watching and praying. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Well, for what? That God may give extended his life, because he was sick. He's dying. Elijah prayed before the Lord. And when he prayed, he asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant to see. Now, what I want to say is, when you read these two verses, the Bible said Hezekiah stood before the Lord God in the temple. And he prayed, saying, he opened his mouth. Elijah here prayed and said, "Lord God, I pray you." Okay, let us go over to Jonah. Jonah. All right. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray you, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repent thee of the evil. Now, you see here? Jonah prayed and he opened his mouth. Now, this is one thing I've been trying to tell you. Many times when you pray, you don't open your mouth. That's not prayer. That's just not what I said. Don't, you know what? A church will be very dead when the song leader, someone standing here, said, let us pray. And he's the only one that opened the mouth, and everyone just nothing. Just thinking in his thought. Praying is not thinking. Praying is always opening your mouth. When you go on your knees and pray, and you just put your hand there at the altar like this, I tell you one thing, you are sleeping, and your mind is drifting. The Bible says, watch and pray. Open your mouth and pray. It says, Lord, I pray thee. If you don't believe me, that is what happened to many Christians. 100 of them at praying in your, where were they? 95 of them will probably go to sleep. Their mind drifting. They're thinking. They're not praying. Pray, you have to construct your word, what's in your heart to say. If I want to talk to my son, talk to me. And he's standing before me and his head is thinking here and there. You think I can read his thought? Oh, but God can read your thought. God is not interested in just listening to your thought. The Bible says, open your mouth. Let the praise come up, fall from your mouth. Even a child, when you open the mouth, perfect praise, right? Yes. And that's one thing, when you start opening your mind and pray, become very natural, you can talk to the Lord. Don't be conscious about your brother and sister next to you. But here we are in the church, and many of them, many of you don't even open your mouth and really worship the Lord. Just watching and praying. You can read the Bible every time you read. When they pray, they say, Lord, this Lord then. Jesus said that. Jesus looked up into the heaven and he says, Lord. And he prayed. And he uttered words from his mouth. Yeah. So that is one thing I want you to know. Looking for his coming, watching and praying. Yes. You are in the kitchen when you are cooking, you can talk to the Lord. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Somebody comes in the house and who are you talking to? I'm talking to the Lord. I remember my mom when he was on a wheelchair, you know, he couldn't move, she couldn't move because of that injury. So oftentimes she's sitting out there and watching her, and she was just mumbling something, you know. He was saying something, you know. And I asked her, I said, who are you talking to? She said, oh, you do not know. I'm talking to someone. You know, and I know who she's talking to. She's talking to someone, yes. You know, and she's opened her mouth and she actually whispered, talking. Because that person who is ever there is there. And she could see, you can't see. I can't see. And that's why I was very happy when my mom was able to talk like this. And the day when she went over to the hospital, she just went to sleep and go. That's reality. Because I know my mom. Even though she ended up early years, she couldn't accept the truth. But she was always reading her Bible every night before she sleep. When I was a child, when she told us about Jesus. And after that, she still read the Bible. When she lived by her own, she read the Bible every night. That's why God gave her the visions of that angelic flying around and had her. Like God gave her the visions of the Last Supper, where she saw Christ and the disciples sitting at the Passover table. And then Christ walked off in the far distance with a bundle of wood that he carried. And my mom said, the voice I heard was, I love you. And I know that my mom had something very special because she, even though she don't know the truth, she was reading the Bible. And when she came to the truth, the Lord gave her this special blessing. You know, that's real. My mom, when she prayed, she actually opened her mouth and talked. It's wisdom. Yes. Yeah. So don't just stand out there and just put your hand and not opening your mouth. You do have to open your mouth. That's called praying. Alright, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I think that's one of the most important things. Make your requests known. And the peace of God which pass all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. 1 Peter 4:7. For the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober. Watch unto prayer. Point number 3, the last point. Are you ready? So you're looking for the coming of the Lord. Love His coming. Then you have to be watchful, prayerful, walking with the Lord, supplicating yourself. Huh? Then now the question is, are you ready? Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that is talking about John the Baptist, the angel that came over to John the Baptist's father and told him about John who was to be born. He said that he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. The religious, pharisaical, the Pharisees, Sadducees, all those religious anyway, those leaders, those considered the spiritual father of Israel, to turn their heart away from all the tradition. To turn them away to believe in the faith of those that will follow John's message. And also to make ready and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's not why over in the book of Isaiah, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And he is the one that when he preached the gospel, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was getting the people, the common people ready. If those that will believe, that they will be able to see the coming of Christ, the Messiah. And when the Pharisees came, they couldn't accept his message, of course. But he persuaded them. He preached in such a way that they could see. But he was very straightforward and firm about their false doctrine, their traditions of the others. And he says that the axe is laid to the root. If you want to come to repentance, be true in your repentance. You know. And I believe that as believers, we today is the same. Their acts must be laid to the root of all those that need to be cut off. All those things that is feeding into us that is wrong, it has to be cut off. You know. And which, if sin should be cut off, then we are blessed. But there are a lot of them, a lot of people that come and say, oh, I'm a Christian, but the act is not even right to the root of sin. There's no true repentance. Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent for his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage feast. And he made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad, and the wedding was finished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on the wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, buy him hand and foot, and take him out, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, this is a parable, simple parable regarding all those that were invited to the wedding. You know, there's religious people. Some righteous people. They would not come. And even entreat the servant of the king very badly. You know, they killed the prophets and all that. So the king was wroth with them. And then he said, go, told his servant, go out to the highway and byway, all those common people out there, the sinners and the cripples and whatever you have, bring them in, since the feast is already set. So they went out and bring them all in. And then when they sat down at the feast, the king comes, so walking. And then he saw the man without a wedding garment. He said, my friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he couldn't open his mouth. He could say nothing. Why? Because he didn't come in through the door. Because when you are bidden to come into the wedding feast, coming through the door, you will have a wedding garment. There is only one way into this marriage feast. Jesus says, I am the door. You have to come in through that door. When you come in through that door, you are given a robe of salvation because you are born again. Then you can sit and you can feast with the king. But this man didn't. Yeah. There are a lot of thieves, you know. People who sneak in. And that's what we have out there in the denominational world. Charismaticism especially. You know, I'm so much against charismaticism. It's one of the greatest evil of all denominations. A very subtle arm. One of the most subtle arm of the octopus. Ecumenical octopus. It sucks. If I'm not mistaken, I think the octopus has 8 tentacles, right? But I think there are 2 that are longer than others. It seems to me, no? Oh, that's a squid. All right. But they are just as much the same as suckers anyway. But you know, the thing is this, is that that ecumenism, when I first heard about it in the 60s, it hasn't come into Singapore yet. It was already started out there in America, in Europe, in the 50s. I heard it in the 60s when I was in the Examinees of God. Whoa! Some of these later on, wow, start coming in. You know, in the 70s, start coming in. And that's what we have, all these big denomination, charismatic churches that start in the 80s, late 80s. And within a few years, boom! Several thousands. It's a gospel that is social. Make everybody happy. Do charitable work. Do this. Do that. Get the people off the streets and all that. Come on now. Want to get a teenager off the streets to the church? Do what David Wilkinson do. As T.R. Osborne said, the great evangelist, go out where the sinners are. Yeah, that's the way. Go out where the sinners are. But David Wilkinson, small little preacher man, went out to the Harlems of New York City. Huh? Those ghettos, those black areas and the bad Hispanic people and all the gangsters out there. And went down there and preached to those gangsters. Those gangsters flipped their switchblade. Said, we'll cut you to pieces. Stop talking about Jesus. Nicky Cruz, you should read his book. The Chiefers of the Mau Mau tribe. I'll cut you to every pieces. The Wilkinson said, if you cut me to every pieces, every piece will scream out and say, Jesus loves you. Time and time again, the Wilkinson went out there and preached to those gangsters. Until that man, young gangster chief, broke down and gave his heart to the Lord. And he became an evangelist. You know, those were the days in the 60s out there. But charismatic came along, it's so different. Don't be blinded to the truth. The word has been given. You know what? That's what we're wondering, you know. The denomination, they can't see the message, they can't see the truth. And people, like some of you, and perhaps you were out there in the war and you came. You know. Once you are stuck in tradition, it's very hard to put on. So the one in government, they must put on the word of God. Sometimes you wonder, you know, let me ask you something. How many fathers do you have? Oh, we only have one father. Physical father on this earth because we were born. And we have only one heavenly father, one God. Right? Sure. We have only one savior. We have only one shepherd, one pastor in the church. You may have assistant pastors, you have elders. But some people don't know what they are doing. They go from this church, from that church to another church, from that other church to another church. They go around. And some of them, of course, they are pastors to themselves. And I said this before, and there are a lot of them around in the world. They're pastor to themselves because they want to be loner. And they have a home fellowship of 1 to 2, 3 person. But they just listen to the tape. You know. So when they die, who's going to bury them? If they want to get married, who's marrying them? You know, backsliding state is terrible. Backsliding stage comes about in a very subtle way. Your laziness to go to church. You don't pray. Huh? By and by, what happened? You completely, your faith is gone. So So, as the last verse says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt you, the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife and make herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Remember, the feast has been set. You want to come in through the door, you will have a wedding garment on. When you put on a wedding garment like you are doing now, then you feast in the Word, then you make yourself ready. And once you make yourself ready, as verse 17 said in Revelation 19, his wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. This is your change of the body. Your body will become immortalized. And that's when you'll be taken up into the rapture. I want you to consider, in closing a little bit, consider Rebecca. You know how Rebecca is. You know, Eliezer went up there to the homeland of Abraham to take a bride for Isaac. He doesn't know who to look for, but the Lord guided him, and he came, you know, and found his family died, and then saw Rebecca and asked, you know, would Rebecca be willing to come with him and be the wife of Abraham's son. And of course, Eliezer, having stayed there for quite some time, must have told all the nice things about Abraham and Isaac, and Rebecca says, Yes, I will go. And Rebecca was literally looking forward to marrying Isaac, to meet the man. Journey, all the long journey, all the way from Mesopotamia, across the river Euphrates, to go back down to Mamre, to Hebron. So when they were on the way, day after day, until finally at the distance, Rebecca saw a man out there. Because Abraham must have told her, we are nearing home now. And then she saw a man out in the field. She recognized that must be her, must be him. And asked Elijah, who is that man? And he said, that's the master. And the Bible told her that she veiled herself and jumped off the camel. She veiled herself immediately. You know. And Isaac met her in the field. She was looking for him. Now people think that Isaac is looking for her. No, Isaac wasn't looking for her. Isaac was just waiting for her. She had to be ready. She had to be willing. Yes, we didn't choose Christ. Christ chose us. He kept looking for us that we might have salvation. Now that we have it, we put on the robe, we must make ourselves ready to meet him. looking for His appearing. Yes. He's going to appear a second time. But are you ready to meet Him? You understand? Lastly, the last verse, Colossians 3. And we close with this. Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 14. Colossians 3, 14. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Which is the bond of perfectness. Completeness in everything. Put on love. Charity. Love. Now, that's the agape that we should be looking for. You know, if we say just below agape, what is the virtue? If we have the virtue of Christ, what is the one that just before the agape? Y'all know? What is that? Brotherly kindness. Filial. Now if we don't have, if we cannot practice filial, how can we have agape? Love casts out all fear. Right? Love forgive. You know. Love understands. I mean, that's a lot of things about this, about love of God. God overlooks a fault of a brother or a sister. You know. Charity. How we practice even charity to people. Because that's what God is. His love. God is love. And as Bob Graham said, without love, you cannot enter. That is the whole sum of it. So if you're looking for His coming, you really wanted to look for His coming, then we have to be watchful and prayerful. And make ourselves ready in the Word. And as sure as the Word is real to you, you know, oh my God, you know what? I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing that at night when I, before I go to bed, I will pray and I always experience this, that the Lord is lifting me a bit higher to experience love. To be conscious about a brother or a sister. You know. And I know, I says, Lord, even I said, Lord, but sometimes it's so hard. You're frustrated with certain people, certain things that have been done to you. But your mind, the Lord speaks and said, what about what you have done to others? If I can forgive you, can you not forgive them? If I have forgotten all those things of what you have done, can you not learn to forget? That is what the challenge is now. And that statement that Brother Brian made, now is testing time by sin. Would you learn to be able to forgive, forget, and really love? Really love! Without any, you know, what do you call that? Reservation. Really love. It's find very hard. But always look at yourself. That you and I, we are just hopeless creature without God. Without that love of God. But because it's real and I experience it. And that's the one, that virtue, the seven steps to the perfect man. If you don't know what it is, go and look at the book. Was it James? The Sermon on the Virtue, was it James or Peter? Or you just go there quickly and be close. Okay, that is in Peter. Okay, Peter chapter 1, verse 5 on. See? You see, the word faith, faith is personal realization of the truth of divine revelation. You have faith? Okay? That is the first thing. You must have the personal realization of the divine revelation of God Himself. Then the next one is the virtue is, well, moral perfection. Knowledge. Knowledge is understanding, learning, experience. You got it? Verse 2, 3, and 4. 2 Peter, sorry. The other says 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6 onward. Okay? And then you have temperance. Temperance means self-control. Patience. Patience is endurance, capacity for waiting without complaint. I think sometimes we complain too much in this world. Isn't that true? Can we go a day without complaining when we go to the food court or go to the bank or waiting for the bus? Or Our life is so smart so that we complain too much. Godliness, the holiness of character about your life, it's piety to God. Brotherly kindness is quality of mind towards a brother. Behaving an obliging action. Agape! That's the love of God. That's the pure love of God. So we are coming up there, and I believe that we are coming. You know, I used to be quite an impatient person. Now I'm still a little bit like that. But I said, Lord, forgive me. Every time I get a little bit busy, I control it. You know. See? So, remember, the total sum of it is agape. So, there must be embrace in us as we look forward to the coming of the Lord. Behold, He cometh. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for all that you have given us again, Lord, through your holy word. We pray, Father, Lord, that you take this word, make it alive to us, make it real to us, Father, in our word that we live in. We thank you, Father, for today. Bless the word now in Jesus' name. Amen.